you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Mind Body Peak Performance. Today, I've got Ashley Peeler on the show. Ashley is an exercise, nutrition, mindfulness, and corporate wellness coach with all kinds of programs and offerings. She also does pre- and postnatal training. My personal favorite component of Ashley's work and the focus of this show is practical detox. Some of the highlights of my talk with Ashley include what the endocrine system is, how detoxification works, and the dangers of living today's modern lifestyle. We will talk about where toxins come from, how to detox easy and effectively. Together, Ashley and I walk through a typical day of mine, pointing out all the sources of hidden toxins in my routine. She also explains how and why dangerous chemicals get approved in the first place. One word that is a Trojan horse, which allows hundreds of chemicals into our daily living. She breaks down specific toxic ingredients like Teflon and explains how they contribute to factors like autoimmunity. We also cover other sources of toxins, like non-native electromagnetic fields, or electrosmog for short, why cognizance over toxin exposure is especially important for mothers and children. Today's show ends with Ashley's top resources that you should check out. Now, let's get started. I'm here with Ashley Peeler. Ashley, will you please describe your background for my audience?
Hi, thanks, Nick. Yes, I am a wellness coach who is specialized in pre- and postnatal corrective exercise, as well as toxic exposure.
So far today, what have you done to detox? It's now around noon your time. Have you done anything specifically?
I'm perfect. Okay. I go out to eat sometimes. I don't always question them. Where did you get those mushrooms? Is that wheat GMO free or not? I just normally try to go to, you know, places. I'm in Florida, so I still am able to go out to eat. And I choose places that are farm to table for like-minded individuals. And I always start my day off with meditation, so to detox my mind. I drink a glass of water to rehydrate my body because although I've been resting and still, the body needs water. It's also drinking water before you start a meal can also not curb your appetite, but oftentimes people eat because they're thirsty and you don't know it. You think you're hungry, but your body's actually thirsty. So I start with that. And then I don't know if it's, I mean, collagen's really hard these days to absorb the older you get, but I like to add collagen in my organic fair trade coffee. So that's normally my morning ritual. So there's a little bit of detox in that.
That's fun. I like that morning ritual. And I add the same things to my morning organic fair trade coffee that I roast myself.
Great.
You mentioned that you worked in Europe and it sparked some of your interest in chemicals, a whole side of wellness that you hadn't previously explored. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So when I was writing my master's thesis in Europe, I studied international relations with a focus on the environment. And I noticed in my research that there were some things happening in the US, because I wrote my master's thesis on GMO labeling, the voluntary scheme in America and the regulatory scheme in Europe, that we were being exposed to GMOs without knowing it, And also that we were inducing a lot of hormones in our beef and dairy. And that was shocking to me because it told some of the symptoms. This was already over 20 years ago, that girls were getting early onset puberty as early as 7, and that infertility was on the rise. And that, again, that was already 21 years ago. Now it's much, much worse.
Can you explain to me a little bit about how detoxification and all that works and why it's important?
Sure. So our skin is our largest organ, right? And I don't know about you, but I didn't have this anatomy course in school, but our endocrine system is, in my opinion, the most important system in your body. It regulates your hormones, your metabolism, your thyroid. It's responsible for your immune system, your reproductive organs, part of your pancreas, part of your kidneys. So it's like the detox central system. And so these chemicals are affecting us in a negative way through mimicking hormones. And so for women, it's particularly alarming because it creates synthetic estrogen. For men, it's also alarming because it's creating another plethora of problems. And it's even more dangerous for children because their endocrine systems are not fully developed yet. So all this toxic exposure that we are having on a daily basis is affecting everything from our mood to our gut, to whether we can have children or not, erectile dysfunction. It's the list of symptoms and problems, autoimmune disorders. It's very, very long.
What would that look like on a day-to-day basis? Where are these chemicals coming from?
Sure. Sorry about that, Nick. So the body, like you said, it sheds every day. And so the exposure comes into our bloodstream, or we ingest the chemicals. And it's very, very hard, for example, to rid your body of heavy metals. There's a range of different detox processes that you can do. And I don't mean juicing to kind of detox from your boozy night before. I'm talking about literally trying to extrapolate the chemicals from your body. You can do infrared sauna, you can take Epsom salt baths. But if not, these chemicals, the skin might shed, but the detox, the chemicals stay in your body and they become part of your system, and your body kind of gets used to them. So it sends signals to your body, for example, to stop metabolizing fat like it did before, or it stops your sleep patterns. So making sure that, one, you don't have those chemicals absorbed in your body is one way to detox. And then the other gets a little bit more difficult, because if you get heavy metal poisoning, for example, you have to go through something called chelation. A lot of heart patients go through chelation, and it's not an easy process and it's not a cheap process. So what you want to do is just avoid the chemicals to begin with, and that way you then don't need to do a detox.
So how else does the body release chemicals outside of sweat?
Well, through the normal secretion outlets. And, you know, even our breath, like as we inhale something and exhale, the particles, the nanoparticles attach themselves to dust, for example. So we're breathing in the toxins, and then they're not really coming out unless we do something, like I said, to promote getting them out, like Epsom salt baths. And that's just that's a very, very small way to reduce toxins, but it's a very effective way for children, for example, because since the skin is our largest organ, and it can help draw out the toxins when bathing. But those are pretty much the only ways that you can get toxins out.
And as I've researched detoxification, I've wondered about what I'm exposing myself to on a daily basis. I've been much more critical and scrutinizing things that I never scrutinized before. So for example, this morning I thought about my water that I drank. I thought about the toothpaste I used, the deodorant I used. What are these like common sources? And can you walk through what that looks like for an average person?
So let's just start with the waking up. Let's start with the day. So you've slept maybe hopefully 8 hours, maybe 7, maybe 6. And you've laid on a pillow. So that pillow, if it is a synthetic pillow, then you can be 100% sure that it's been sprayed with flame retardants. And flame retardants are known endocrine disruptors. So they already mess with your hormone levels. The sheets that are on top of the pillow, if they're a synthetic material, they also have flame retardants on them. Your mattress, same thing. They've all been sprayed with flame retardants that, for the most part, in some countries have been banned for quite a long time because they're known carcinogens and or endocrine disruptors. These, or they're also called xenoestrogens. So they're synthetic or foreign estrogen that you're inhaling. So then, your pajamas, same thing. If they're synthetic material, flame retardants. So you've already had 8 hours of a chemical on your body, on your face, on your person, over your body. You get up, let's say you have breakfast. If that breakfast happened to be in some plastic, which most everything today in America is in plastic, then you've leached endocrine disruptors in the food. If you heat up that food in plastic, even worse, because you're not only creating endocrine disruptors, the endocrine disruptors aren't just leaching from the plastic, you have dioxins that are leaching into your food, which are a known carcinogen, according to the World Health Organization. Then you want to brush your teeth. So, or let's say you want to have some water. So your water can contain, it does contain nowadays, chlorine, fluoride, any pesticides that have been outside, they leach into the aquifer. So they're in your water. Fluoride, if I didn't already say that. And then any type of medication, any medications people are taking today, they end up in our drinking water. So you've got those chemicals. Then you go to the bathroom, you want to brush your teeth. Depending on what type of toothpaste you have, you could have artificial coloring, artificial flavoring. Those are neurotoxins, so they're going to affect your mood and behavior. SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate, is the stuff that makes everything foam. So we think that foam cleans things, but it doesn't. It's just a chemical to make bubbles. So it just foams. And that can, for people who have really sensitive skin, that can create ulcers in their mouths or skin reactions, little white bumps around your mouth. Your deodorant. So is it aluminum based? And we already know that aluminum causes Alzheimer's, for example. That's one reason why we have so many patients now with Alzheimer's. It's also the neurotoxins that I've previously mentioned.
How are these chemicals approved in the first place if there's research about how they cause endocrine disruption and a host of other health, wellness problems?
So I lived 19 years in Europe, and Europe is a rather young union of 27 member states. So they were able to create bodies that cross monitor what's going on. So you have DG Environment, DG Sanko, which is health. You have REACH, which is their chemical organization. Then you have the food regulatory body, and they all work together to establish safe protection for their consumers or for their citizens. In the US, we only have the FDA and the EPA. If something is not considered a foodstuff, it does not have to be labeled. So when you have the word fragrance on a cleaning product, for example, it could contain over 150 chemicals in it. Just that word alone. And so, you know, some companies are now what we call greenwashing, where they say it's natural or it's healthy or safe, but there might not be anything safe about it. Because, and we won't know unless you're a concerned citizen and you contact the company, and maybe the company won't even get back to you. It happens to me all the time when I'm curious to know if, what type of fragrance, what are they making their fragrance with? And endocrine disruptors, for example, are found in every fragrance. It's the petroleum-based chemical that binds the compound together in order to create that fragrance. It's the same with plastic. You need that chemical to bind the plastic together. So you can bet if something has fragrance in it, for example, you are being exposed to endocrine disruptors without a shadow of a doubt. And the FDA and the EPA have no regulation on stopping those chemicals. I mean, we've seen in the U.S., I don't know if you're aware of it's still an ongoing court case with Teflon, well, with DuPont chemicals, because they poisoned an entire city in West Virginia, Parkersburg. There's a documentary that was actually made about it called Dark Waters. I highly recommend you watch it if you haven't already seen it. And it talks about Teflon is also PA. It's called, there are PFAs. They are also a known endocrine disruptor that they leached into water, the water sources. So they leached it into a river, and then that goes into the aquifer, and the whole city drank it, or town, and they had every type of illness imaginable. Deformations in the children of the line workers for the Teflon pots and pans. All types of cancers, lung, liver, cervical, infertility, hysterectomies, you name it, anything that has to do with your autoimmune disorders, so many autoimmune disorders, Hashimoto's, Crohn's, celiacs, all these autoimmune disorders, they're all caused by chemical exposure that we unknowingly have been exposed to. And now, we get an opportunity to look at that and really assess what we're putting in our space, particularly now during the pandemic, we're spending more and more time at home. So it might be a blessing for some, because some workplaces are also toxic environments from a chemical exposure standpoint. But 9 times out of 10, we are now living in that space with those chemicals that we not only put on our body every day, but now we're breathing and we're inhaling it as well in our space.
To go back to the example from this morning, before I had even left my bed, I had been exposed to a litany of different chemicals and things that I'd rather avoid. How much of those do I actually absorb? And does it differ between something on my skin versus that I put in my mouth?
When I see a client and they, for example, I make all my clients do a food log, and I see that they drink a Coke, I tell them, okay, you're probably not going to get sick because of that Coke, but you'll get sick because of the artificial coloring, the artificial flavoring, the container that it's in, unless it's in glass. But even now we know that glass is also exposing us to toxins. So it's taking, all these chemicals and them adding up, whether you put it in your mouth, whether your skin on material, it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, what you eat and drink is tantamount to what's going to happen to you. It's going to enter your bloodstream much quicker than laying on synthetic sheets all night. But the problem is you're laying on these synthetic sheets consecutively. It's not just one time, and you're spending 6, 7, 8 hours on them. And, it's not a matter of, oh, well, I'm going to buy these sheets and then I'll wash them 100 times and then they'll be clean. These chemicals, they don't disappear. They're here for life. We have found these chemicals in Antarctica. There's microplastics in Antarctica. It's everywhere. Wow.
I spend probably 8+ hours a day on my computer and using technology. is there anything I should pay attention to in terms of sources of toxins that I wouldn't even think to look at?
Yes. So California has Prop 65, which is a way to protect their citizens a little bit more against chemical exposure. So I'd say California is at the forefront of protecting its citizens. And that's why Californians pay so much taxes. So it's when people are like, why is it so expensive in California? Well, they're actually trying to keep you safe. So I recently bought an external hard drive for my computer and I pull it out. I can't remember. I think it was a Toshiba, not to, to negative speak about them, but there are other companies that do it as well. And there's a little piece of paper inside when I opened it up from California saying Prop 65, this device has flame retardants on it, essentially. So even your digital devices have flame retardants on them. And, but the flame retardants for me, that's not the real danger for you. It's the electromagnetic radiation. The Bluetooth being right in your ear, having the connection of the satellite coming straight on your person. The cognitive disruption that electromagnetic frequency or radiation does to your body, it is causing insomnia. A lot of people, I know the pandemic has given us more anxiety, but this is next level anxiety now. And it's not just addiction, let's say phone addiction that, you're scrolling at night because you just can't stop scrolling or you just can't stop looking at Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever it is that you're looking at. It's literally the time that you're taking. It's changing, it's altering the way in which we think. And so I tell my clients, 3 hours, 2 hours, at least 2 hours before going to bed, turn the digital devices off. If you can't turn them off because you have a sick family member or your child's out or something like that, okay. But you can also, before you go to bed, you can put it on airplane mode so that you have less communication coming in and out of your sleeping space. That's if you can keep the devices out of your bedroom altogether, even better. I turn my router off at night. It's inevitable. If I look at my phone, there's probably 10 other Wi-Fi connections I could link up to right now. So I'm still being exposed, but I have less exposure. So people don't really know the effects of what, being online so long is doing to us. And unfortunately, for children in particular, now that my son, he takes a computer to school, and from school, he's in sixth grade and he does his assignments on his computer now. So I don't even want him on that computer all day, but this is by default the new normal, given part of the school is online. Now it's physical, but with masks, but they still need to turn in their assignments digitally instead of paper. And this is going to alter the way our children are thinking and create more anxiety for them, which it already has. Every parent that I talk to, I don't know what's going on. There's anger and there's sadness and frustration and I can't get them off the devices. That's another common problem. So yeah, the digital devices are also not a healthy thing to be exposed to long-term. So if you can shut down, I'm not even going to talk about the blue light because I think most people know that blue light's not healthy either. That's also going to mess with your sleep patterns. And, sleep as somebody working in wellness, people come to me to get fixed. Like they either want to lose weight or gain muscle, or they have a hip problem or a shoulder problem, or they're pregnant, or they just had a baby. And, I want to help them achieve their goals. And it's not just about exercise and nutrition anymore. It's about how stress hormones are affecting your body and how they might prevent you from metabolizing the way you want or boosting your metabolism And so you have to look at the big picture now. It's not just, you've got to look at prevention. You've got to look at mindfulness. How are we going to calm the body so that we're creating happy hormones instead of stress hormones?
And how does this exposure to new and continuing chemicals affect mothers and children differently than the normal population?
Sure. So as I mentioned before, our endocrine system is responsible for everything. It's, for me, it's like the third brain in your body, because if your endocrine system's not functioning properly, your immune system's suppressed, or your reproductive organs are not working properly, or you're not getting enough sleep, you're gaining weight, migraines, headaches, foggy thought, brain patterns. And for moms, everything that they're ingesting is going straight to their child. Everything that they're putting on their skin is going straight into the bloodstream for their child. That also was an alarming statistic I found when I was writing my master's thesis, that they were already finding in the umbilical cord of moms, BPA, which is a byproduct of plastic, which is a known endocrine disruptor. At least we know now the words BPA and phthalates. Most people have kind of heard that, ooh, what is that? That's we should not have that. Well, unfortunately, manufacturers now make BPE and BPS. So it's the same thing. It just doesn't say BPE free and BPS free. So they found a way around it. It's another cheap byproduct. But because the babies or children, their endocrine systems are still not fully developed, we are altering their generation and their children's generation through epigenetics, through this exposure. We are evolving children in a different way, because if a girl, for example, because these are synthetic hormones that are being created through these chemicals, has her period at 7, 8, that means she can get pregnant at that time. I mean, this is changing our society as a whole. And that also, what comes with that are the hormones of, you know, maturity, and at such a young age, and the body's not fully caught up with the rest of what needs to take place, you know, in a timeline scale of how children develop. So it's really, really important that children are not exposed to things such as fragrances at an early age, nail polish, personal care products. I mean, you can have red lipstick and it be natural. This is a completely organic company, same as the nails. You can get what you want today in 2021 that isn't just full laden with chemicals. And for girls, because the beauty industry is targeting women more because we purchase more personal care products, we've got to make sure that we're using our purchasing power in a positive way, because these girls need to also have children. I mean, if we look at the, you know, 50, 60 years from now, if they can't reproduce, then who's going to take care of us, you know, from, you know, as we age and go into another, we'll have a global pandemic, which is what's happening right now. I mean, more girls are being born already from all over the world. So it's changing whether we have boys or girls. This is what these chemicals are doing. And it's changing whether women or men are even fertile. So this is a serious issue for girls in particular.
When you work with mothers and to-be mothers one-on-one, you incorporate identifying weaknesses of their environment or potential exposures. Do you go through and like do a fine tooth comb to make sure that you're getting all the visible and invisible sources to set them up for success?
If they're open to it. You know, I'm not going to tell a mom who loves this one shampoo and conditioner and her perfume that she can't use them anymore. But so, you know, that's why I don't want to say I separate the two. You know, I work in toxic exposure and I work in corrective exercise. And if the client is open to it, yes. And then I offer them an assessment so I can go into their homes either virtually or physically And we target, okay, let's eliminate this, you know, phase it out. I normally don't tell people just throw them away because the chemicals are still there. You know, you might as well just finish it out and then recycle the containers. And then make your own, for example. That's an extra opt-in if they want it. But I'm always talking to everyone that will listen, you know, have you looked at your, you know, what type of coffee are you drinking? Or I'll say, you know, do you purchase organic produce? Or what do you store your food in if you have leftovers? Or so there's always ways for me to kind of ask questions. And then my clients are asking me why I'm asking those questions. But it's normally if they're particularly women, if they can't shed the weight, and we've been doing all different types of workouts that should be reducing their fat visually, let's say, then normally it could be something hormonal.
So what are a few practical tips you have for all populations to effectively detoxify, to avoid toxins in the first place so that they don't have to rely on their body to excrete them?
Three things. Filter your water. There's all types of filters out there. Start with one. It doesn't matter which one right now, but make sure your water is filtered. Eliminate fragrance from your life, meaning dishwashing detergent, washing detergent, shampoo, lotion, makeup. Make sure they're essential oil based. And just on the note of essential oils, because there are some essential oils, lavender and tea tree oil, that have plant estrogens in them. But you really would have to lather your body with essential oil day in and day out to have the same effect that these synthetic hormones do immediately to you. So I don't really agree with the argument that, you know, it's kind of like the soy argument with food. You know, you literally would have to consume a lot of tofu, a lot of soy in order to see any type of spike or low testosterone levels. Because we just don't eat that much as a society. And that's already been researched in Japan, in China, where, you know, populations consume more plant estrogen. So that's number two. So filter your water, eliminate all fragrance out of your life, and stop buying plastic or stop putting things in plastic. This is hard because, you know, you go to the grocery store, whether it's, you know, let's say a cheaper grocery store, or you go to a Whole Foods, it's almost inevitable to leave without something that has been wrapped in plastic or is a container in plastic. But you can start looking, you know, peanut butter, normally you could find in glass instead of plastic. That's just one example. Jam in a jar versus jam in a plastic container. If you have the access to go to a baker, get bread from a baker instead of in a plastic bag. It's just starting to look at how much plastic's in your life. Don't give children plastic toys. Don't give children plastic toys. So, I worked on, the banning phthalates and toys legislation in Europe. They banned toys. It went into effect in 2001. It took America almost 6 years after that. And we knew that those toys were causing abnormalities in children. So just avoid as much plastic, in your home. You can even, I'm not talking about throw out your Tupperware, but I don't use it anymore. You could use it to put maybe crayons in or something, another petroleum-based chemical in them. And you can use old jars, or you can even just use a ceramic bowl and put a plate on top of it. That's no waste and no exposure. You gotta make sure that fragrance is not on the dishwashing detergent or it's going to leach you.
Like you're saying, I think it's prudent to avoid all plastics in the first place, because just when they ban BPA, then BPE and BPS come out, and the label can still tout that it's BPA free, and it is, but the other analogs to it aren't.
Exactly.
Good recommendations. And for people who are learning about this whole world of the invisible for the first time, How do you recommend they learn more? I know you have a Detox Your Life Masterclass. Can you tell us more about that?
And so that's the beauty of the pandemic. I see it as a blessing, not as a curse. I am launching a 6-week How to Detox Your Life Masterclass online. It's going to be in person in Miami, socially distanced, of course, but it's available for everybody else in the world. Now, granted, it's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So for Europe, that's a little bit late, but for the rest of the U.S. And Canada, and any expats living further south, you can join online. That's with a local amazing holistic center called Modern Home. And we will go each week on an area in your house to tackle. We'll also be doing a wine tasting. We can even do that virtually because there's a lot of toxins in alcohol. And that's one of the areas that people overlook, unfortunately. But again, we have plenty of purchasing power, and we can buy other options to reduce those chemicals in that. And so every week there'll be some area to tackle. And
that's a whole nother episode to talk about the hidden side of wine and alcohol and how to protect your body against the ravages it can inflict.
Definitely.
Imagine there's a worldwide burning of the books, so to speak, and that all informational content is removed from Earth, yet you get to keep 3 most meaningful teachers, books, videos, interviews, whatever kind of learning material it is. What would you choose?
That's hard. But I think, my go-to book that I gift a lot of people is Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. I'm big on self-help books and poetry. And I just think that it's such an old book, but it's so worldly, the advice that he's given about life in general. And again, I'm working in wellness. I think it's really, really important to focus on the mindfulness aspect of our lives, because digitization has helped us in some ways, but it's also hindered us. It's gotten us away from personability, getting back to being one with nature, and that's calming. And we need that calm in our bodies in order to achieve optimal wellness. So that, from a business standpoint, and I think it could benefit everyone, I absolutely adore James Clear's Atomic Habits. That book changed my life and helps you with a purpose if you don't really know what you want to do, and it just sets you up again with also a mindfulness practice, how to make time for yourself. Self-care is so important. So that's a great book. And then I think another book that really changed my life is Your Erroneous Zones by Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer was an amazing psychologist in America and wrote a plethora of books, self-help books. And Your Erroneous Zones talks about how we are completely accountable for everything we do. So no one makes you mad. You have a choice as to which emotions you're going to tap into. So I can wake up, I can roll out of bed, and I can stump my toe and, already be in a bad mood. Or I can say, well, I should have maybe planted my foot down a little bit differently. I'll be aware of that next time when I get out of the bed. And just seeing the glass half full and so the glass half empty. So those 3 books probably have definitely changed my life for the better. And I recommend them also to pretty much everyone I talk to when I'm talking about books.
Some great reads to add to the book list. Ashley, what's the best way for my audience to reach you?
Instagram, Ashley Peeler. My website, Ashley Peeler. LinkedIn, Ashley Peeler. Clubhouse, Ashley Peeler. You can find me. I'm very active on all social media platforms because I find that with globalization, it's important that you are able to be contacted from anywhere. I have clients in Europe. I have clients in different time zones. And I can do everything virtually. You know, I'm not going physically yet to see clients. I'm doing it all virtually. And I'm able to cue people effectively to make sure that they are working towards whatever goal that they have set for themselves. And so I would love to hear from anybody through any of those channels.
Great. Ashley, it's been wonderful connecting and learning about detoxification.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Nick.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.